Episode two?
Two.
That sounded like a question.
Yeah, I would like to do episode two. Hi, it's Janelle.
It's Crick. And welcome to Darling, You Inspire Me.
Today we're going to talk about being lost. Are you feeling lost right now?
Oh my. Couldn't be more lost.
Perfect.
That's perfect then. I love that for us. We do have to touch on last week's episode of Fears, our first episode. If we do hear cat noises, those are sponsored by Bernie and Ralph.
So are they paying us?
Technically, I'm paying them. So one day it'll come back.
For sure.
Yeah, also, you got to start small with sponsors, you know?
So did you do your challenge from last week?
So I kind of did. I had an interview.
Yes, the challenge was...
Spoiler alert. Did not get the job.
Boo! You didn't want that job anyway.
And we, so I did ask a funny question that was fearful because it was how much confidentiality information. Let's just say it was a place with animals, and I asked her if she was also scared of birds. And she then responded, no. And it was so kind of embarrassing and fearful, but I'm really glad I asked it.
Because there's lots of birds there.
There was lots of birds there. And I still wanted to work there. So it was like overcoming fears. It wasn't like I couldn't be in the room. And then I automatically thought in the interview, I have to tell Janelle. And then when I was leaving and getting my coat, this random man came and he had a bird, and I didn't see him come there with a bird.
It was
a very, very beautiful bird, but it was like...
Was it a big bird?
Smaller than a crow, bigger than a blue jay.
Okay. Not like a vulture or like an eagle or something.
Could not tell you the type. I think it was kind of grayish. And it caught me off guard, so I kind of screamed a little bit. So I was like, oh, this is great. And then he had, like, marks on his head where I genuinely think it was from the bird.
The bird attacked him.
The bird hit his head.
See? Okay. I wouldn't be afraid of birds, except if you're talking about being pecked.
Right?
Being pecked.
And that's where my fears come from, because I went to Disney World, and I had fries, and a seagull pricked my finger.
He pecked your finger and stole your fry.
Yes. So I didn't get the job.
You didn't get the job because you're afraid of birds, and there's lots of birds there. But you know what? Those birds were probably jerks anyway. So
they're probably beautiful and great.
No, they're jerks.
Okay. Well, to that guy, for sure.
They pecked his face, and you don't need that.
I don't need that in my life.
You have a nice face that does not need to be pecked.
So I did do it. I did ask some tough questions in the interview that made me uncomfortable, like salary and stuff like that. So I feel like I did my challenge. Did you do your challenge of cold calling or
cold calling dream clients? I did not, but I did do something else.
Yeah, you did.
So I did not because I took on some more work since our last episode and I don't have space for new clients right now. But I do have a writing class every week where we read something out loud.
Okay.
And it's always scary. So this week I decided to read something like very vulnerable and personal to the class.
How did it feel?
It felt so good. It was like a big exhale. I loved it.
Like afterwards?
Afterwards. Nerve-wracking before. It was like very personal and vulnerable and very much about being lost. So keys into our topic today. But it went over great. I felt great after. I got great feedback, and it's made me inspired to continue to do that, to keep sharing and being vulnerable. And it feels good after. Like, you feel like you've shed a layer.
I honestly feel alive after I've done something fearful. Like, it's like, that's what we're put on this earth, is to do things that scare us and to test ourselves.
Yeah.
Of, like, how vulnerable we can be without still being safe. Yeah. Without that it's vulnerability. Yeah. Do you ever get vulnerability hangover?
No, I don't.
No? So after you shared, you're like...
I pretty much always feel really good after, and I want to do more. Like, I don't feel... Yeah, no, I don't usually regret it. The only time I regret it is if I'm at a party or something, and there's alcohol involved, and I get real... I share too much, maybe. And then the next day, I'm like, what did I say? And that's why I don't really drink anymore.
Let you in a little secret. That still happens sober. I have been sober for 4 years. And then I go to an event, and then I'm like, what just happened?
Like, maybe we just can't, we just say the words.
I think that's an ADHD thing.
Yeah.
It's like, we want to connect.
Yes, yeah, so really.
How vulnerable can we get?
Like, have you ever shit your pants? Have you shit your pants? Are your parents dead or alive?
Did they get a divorce? Have you ever seen them fucking?
Yeah. Have you seen your parents having sex?
Can we mention that your daughter is here?
Yes, my 7-year-old daughter's here today, but she has her noise-canceling headphones on, and she's playing Minecraft, so she can't hear us. But it's a day off.
She can. I just talked.
And I just found that out yesterday. So, surprise, surprise. It's bring your child to work day. Do you want to say hi, Ali?
Hi.
Hi.
Can I go for your
earphones? Wait, can you tell them what you said at the beginning? I've just met Ali this morning, and one of the first sentences she said was...
I forget.
The Jesus.
You don't need Jesus when you have your friends.
You don't need Jesus if you have your friends. I don't know what that means, but Ollie also has ADHD, so she says a lot of one-liners that
big fans of, and
yeah, entertaining for sure.
Also welcoming a t-shirt company coming soon.
And no shade if you love Jesus, guys.
Yes.
Just one 7-year-old's opinion, okay?
Yeah, that's, you can't take that too seriously. Okay.
So we were both vulnerable. We both faced our fears last week.
High five.
High five. Go us. We are slay.
Slay. Even like doing a first episode was terrifying.
Yeah, it was.
So terrifying we haven't listened to it
again. We have not listened to it. It's not edited. We basically just put it in a file until today. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to listen to it today.
That's your goal.
That's my new goal. I'm going to listen to it today.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
So coming back on our episode topic today of being lost, who wants to start?
We're lost boys.
Boys?
Yeah, like Peter Pan.
I was a lost boy.
I never left. Peter Pan.
Call me Jingle Bell.
That's a really good, that's a great song. That was on the radio. That's real.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew there wasn't Tinkerbell. It just was ad lib.
So I'm feeling lost, but I'm thinking that it's seasonal.
Ooh, I love that.
So there's like seasonal, cyclical stuff that happens with me. So it's like once a month, I'm depressed. And then like once a season, I'm depressed again. And like it, and
you're, I always something here.
Right?
Yeah.
It's, there's a part of me that's, I know it's period related.
Oh, for sure.
And then,
okay, wait, is it a week related before or 2 weeks before?
So I'm trying to learn about cycle syncing.
Yeah.
Not cycle syncing.
Cycle,
the science of your cycle.
To know your cycle.
Yes. So my friend who knows all about it has asked me to start writing down what I'm noticing. So like 1 week, I'm super horny. And 1 week, I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Every month, there's 100%. Those two things, no matter what. So figuring out when that's most likely to be happening so I can plan my life around it.
There is an app that I was paying for that was really good. It's called Mood. I didn't like the title because don't tell me my mood, you know?
Yeah.
I probably downloaded it when I was like depressed. I'm like, don't tell me how I feel. But it told me like what I thought I was going to be expecting, and it was pretty bang on.
That's cool. But I don't want to pay for an app.
For sure.
Because I will forget and I will auto renew it for 10 years.
Oh, that's a problem.
I think I have an app from high school still.
You're just doing pen and paper.
I think I'm going to do pen and paper or
cancel that app today. Could that be your thing?
That cancel the app I've been paying for many years? I don't know how, guys. Otherwise, I would have already done it.
Is it Audible?
No, it's some sort of mental health.
How's that working out for you?
So I don't think it's worth the money because I'm still mentally ill.
Every month. Minimum.
So, yeah, I don't know. I know that being a woman comes in. Definitely being a woman and having hormone fluctuations makes these things a little bit more common, I think. I don't know. I don't know if men go through the same cycles of feelings.
I asked boyfriend and he said no, but I think I noticed it on him. And theirs is more like daily, 24-hour cycles.
Oh, interesting.
Like, we have that too, but we're definitely more like 4 different cycles in our menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
And they have to. Their hormones aren't like us, but they have to still feel.
I mean, my husband has like clinical depression, so.
Do you find there's
moody.
Did you guys sync up?
We try. Okay. I know depression's not really a choice, but we really do try our best to not be a hot mess at the same time. Like, if one of us is depressed, the other person really, like, tries to take good care of themselves so that they can keep the house running.
That's so lovely.
It has happened that we've both been depressed at the same time, and that is not cute. It is
not for anyone.
It's not a cute place to be. But I think that's only happened once in 15 years.
Can I ask, what do you do in those times?
We're both depressed?
Yeah, like, do you have people to help support?
Yeah, like, we have good support system, but we really just do the bare minimum to get by in those times.
And survival mode.
Survival mode for a week or two. But usually we take good turns. We're good at sharing.
Does that help you make you feel less loss?
It does. Having an anchor is so helpful.
Yeah.
In, like, every area of my life. Knowing that there's somebody who I can lean on or take some of my mental load, take some of, like, the responsibility of the household, the childcare, and also just be present for me when I need him. Like, if I need someone to just hug me or if I need someone to talk to, like, he's there. And that's invaluable, really, when you're mentally ill. And I do the same for him, so yay, equality.
Speaking about ADHD, on this, it took me everything to not sing "Lean on Me."
I'm proud of you. You can do it now.
So glad I got it off.
You can sing the whole song if you want.
But let me validate your feelings first. I think that's so good, and also someone who understands mental health, because having a partner who doesn't understand it, like, obviously it's extremely hard with both of you having it, but having a partner who doesn't understand it is its own problems too.
For sure.
Like, it's its own difficulties, but yeah.
Yeah, it's hard either way, and that's kind of what I feel for in every situation. It's both is always hard. Both situations is hard.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of our good qualities is being able to see that. Like,
to empathize.
Empathize
with everyone. Like, it used to be when I was a stay-at-home mom, that's so hard. Being a working mom is also so hard. And now I see both sides and they're both just hard. Like, being single is hard. Being married is hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's all hard. So choose your hard and try to make the best of it.
So when you're lost, like right now, is he a good anchor for that?
He is, but it's taken us time to get to where we are now. So right now he has a stable job that has benefits.
What are those like?
I don't know. I've never had one. But he has a stable job that has benefits, which allows me to be creative and allows me to explore what careers make me happy. I've had my company for a year now, but within that year, I've had the freedom to try many different things. And I'm in a space right now where I was getting kind of restless and lost in what I was doing. I had some projects come to an end. I didn't know what I wanted to take on next. I was getting bored of the things I've been doing. And talking to him about it and being like, I know I'm not bringing in the amount of money that we had agreed I would. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's okay. Like, just, I can see that you're on the brink of something. So just continue trying to figure it out until we can't anymore. And I'll let you know. I took over the money this year. Like, I'm the finance lady now. So I'll know when
it's time.
When it's time. If I absolutely have to take on a project that I'm not 100% on, I will.
So what made you feel less lost? Like, you just kind of took control again? Like, you're like, hey, I'm feeling restless. I need to make a change.
Yeah, and I'm still in the process. Yesterday, I quit something.
Ooh.
That I had been...
We're big supporters of quitting.
Thanks. Quitting. Quitting something that you know isn't right for you.
But you try. It's
very hard for me because I hate letting people down. I hate disappointing people.
Yeah.
So I quit something and that helped me feel more on the right track.
It kind of brings a sense of control. Like, yeah. That, like, oh, I have my own autonomy in making decisions in my life that may not be good. And honestly, usually for the best for both parties.
Yeah, because if I'm not invested to the level that you are, I should not be involved. Like, it's not good for you. It's not good for me. If it's your job, if it's friendship, if it's a project, if it's volunteering and it's not going well and you give it a chance, you make the adjustments and it's still just not for you. I mean, quitting is an option. And I think we forget that sometimes.
I think we're taught not to.
Not to quit no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but then
sometimes it's better for both of you.
And I think that's like really goes through ADHD burnout because it's like we don't want to be quitters. We don't want to, but we'll keep going. Like we will find some energy until we have absolutely none.
Yeah.
And we'll give it away. And I think finding what works for you with your ADHD, quitting something and or saying no to a client, it's really hard.
Yeah, and making space in our schedules for the things that do light us up, that do bring us joy. And the only way to do that sometimes is to let go of things that don't, that no longer serve you.
Good for you.
Thank you. It's really hard.
The process of being unlost, even though we know we're going to be lost for the rest of our lives. But there's those little moments that we, like, aren't lost. Where, like, you know you're exactly where you need to be.
Yeah.
Thrive.
I was just talking to a friend yesterday who has ADHD, who is a creative like us. And we were just saying, like, some people aren't like this. Some people don't constantly search for something better and bigger and try to grow and try to change. And they just have a job and they like the job and they stay at the job for, what is it, 40 or 50 years?
That blows my mind.
And like, they don't even think about leaving the job, like ever.
I used to be jealous of that. And now
same.
It makes me sad. But then also like, hey, if that's actually what floats their boat.
And I know people like that who are genuinely happy.
Boyfriend.
And I'm so happy for them. I just wish, so I used to wish that that's how I was too, that that's how my brain worked. And I'm like, something is wrong with me.
Yeah.
Because here I would be at a great job, making lots of money. I have benefits. I have all these things. Why am I miserable? Why am I depressed? Why do I literally fantasize about jumping out of that window? I just stare at it and imagine jumping out of it. Why am I like this? And I get it now. That's just not meant for me. That's not who I am.
Well, it's just like society is not meant for ADHDers. Like it's not, it's like, I think it's getting there, but we're not, like, no one's clapping their hands for us. No one's, like, unless we're quote-unquote successful at being creatives, mm-hmm. no one is like, congratulations, today you got out of ADHD paralysis. Congratulations on all the things you've done, which was harder than regular
typical
brains. Mm-hmm. And, like, they don't know how the journey, like, everyone has a journey and everyone has their ups and downs and struggles. But, like, it's only praised when it's, like,
when it gets you to a certain level of success, whether yeah. it be financial or fame. If you appear to be successful,
that's the only when you get praised. Like, did you see how many followers they had? Did you, oh, their home or all of this? Like, we don't know shit about shit.
And now that I've worked in a corporate setting, I work with corporate people and I see what it's really like, and I get to know people on a deeper level. I've changed what I want. I don't want the home I used to want. I don't want the holidays I used to want, or a cabin, or because I see what that costs them. Mm-hmm. And I see how they really feel. Like,
they sell it really well.
From the outside, everything is perfect for some. And once you are let in, it might be different than you imagined it would be. I mean, honestly, if I have my husband, my kids, my friends, and we have a place to live, and we have food, and I can provide them with comfort, I'm okay. And, like, I'm successful.
And you don't need Jesus.
I don't, like, don't tell them. I don't. But to each their own, babe.
I completely agree. I dream of this, like, little simple life. And definitely the economy right now has kind of killed that, because I was doing pretty good.
You were doing so well. You still have. You have a beautiful.
Thank you.
And but a lovely, like, relationship and a nice family.
I am 100% successful in that. I guess because I'm lost in my career venture right now, everything kind of feels a little shaky, because your worth, your purpose, your all that is like, what am I doing? And because I had that, and with a job I loved, and it gave me all the things with working 4 days a week, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
But I thrive for the same thing you are, is simple life, my friends, my family, great relationships. I don't need a lot of money. I don't need all the things anymore, which I was chasing before. Mm-hmm. Had the government jobs, had the corporate jobs, had all those. And it was like, it was not fulfilling. It was fun for the first bit because, oh, we made money and we were like other people. It was like, we're avatars.
It's really fun to have money. It is. Like, there's no question. I love to shop. Money. I love to shop. I love to go out for dinner. I love to go to the spa. Money is fun, but it's not everything. And I used to think that having money equaled that everything else would be fine. And
that's, well, it's freedom. I think that's what we're seeking, is freedom. Freedom to spend time with your kids. Freedom to do a podcast and, like, work on passion projects.
Absolutely.
Which hopefully will be income projects.
Passion projects that turn into income.
But yeah, it's, I wake up every morning like, what am I going to do today?
Yeah. And I've been where you are. I've been between jobs, and it is a weird place to be. Because when you're working, you're like, God, I just wish I could sleep in.
Yeah.
And then when you can't sleep in, you're like, I don't even want this. Like, what am I doing? Like, what am I going to do today? It's fun for like a week or two because it feels like a vacation.
Yeah.
But then after a week or two, you're like, what is life?
Well, and I was also on medical leave, like stress leave too. So it's been like, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it's been since September, the end of September, since I've been off work. I definitely had other things going on that kept me busy, but I don't like it. Like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you get jealous of people who have jobs.
And that is funny, because when you have a job, you're like jealous of people.
I just want to do nothing all the time. I want to be a stay-at-home cat mom.
Stay-at-home cat mom would be such a good job.
Have you considered that? Well, no one's paying me.
Well, someone should pay
me. Well, actually, EI is paying me on that. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Service Canada.
Shout out to the government of Canada for paying Crick a little
bit. Have you ever tried EI?
I have.
Get your code / darling.
Darling, you inspire me for 10% off.
EI.
That would be a great sponsor. We should call them. I'm going to call the government.
Do you think anyone's ever called to get sponsored?
Just be like, excuse me, government, I heard you actually have extra money. Can you sponsor our podcast, please?
Because I have to pay back my CERBA. So I'm just wondering if I can keep it for this podcast.
That is not a joke. CERB, as in COVID payments for people who couldn't work, just sent me a letter saying I owe them $14,000. $14,000. And I called him like, why? Why do you want this back? They're like, because you didn't qualify for CERB. Like, I spent 6 hours on the phone making damn sure that I qualified for CERB. Because I'm like, the worst possible thing that could happen is that they pay me and then I owe it back. Mm-hmm. So the worst has happened. I'm appealing it.
Good.
Because husband told me, he's like, I remember the conversation and all the reasons why you did qualify. So we wrote it in a letter and we'll see what happens, but I might be short 14 grand. We'll see. These sponsors, just 14 grand worth would be really helpful.
You know what? I'd make that sacrifice.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
You're a good friend.
Yeah.
Nice. So what are your next steps here? What do we feel that we need? What do we need? What do we need to get out of the funk, the lost funk?
Christine needs to set reasonable goals on applying for jobs and reaching out to people who may have a job in the field that I want and actually doing them instead of getting distracted and doing things that seem productive but are not getting me to getting a job.
What is that called? When you're doing something and to avoid the task, you do something productive.
Procrastination.
Procrastination, but it's like positive procrastination or like whatever. It's an ADHD
dopamine
thing.
Hits.
Because you'll be on the computer. You're like, I'm going to fill out this form for work or whatever. And then you turn around and you see laundry and you're like, I'm going to fold that laundry quick because I'm actually doing something productive.
Yeah.
By avoiding your main
task.
Guess who's
all her laundry.
Oh, yeah.
This gal.
I would. Yeah, I do not have that. I have lots of laundry.
You also have two children.
I do. But I don't have that thing where I do.
What do you do?
When I get distracted?
Yeah.
I'm like a freaking little dog. Like I see something over there and I go look, see what that is. Go over there.
Or you just look.
Make a coffee and literally go to the bathroom. And then I'm like.
Bathroom what?
Do I pee a lot?
Yeah.
Because I keep getting beverages.
Yeah, three beverages at a time.
Three beverages at a time.
I got two and I feel lost.
Hydration, caffeination, just for fun. Those are the beverages.
If I don't, also a t-shirt. We got to write these down. I'm writing this down.
Hydration, caffeination, just for fun. Those are the ADHD beverages. If you don't have three beverages at a time, what are you even doing? You're not doing it properly. Do you know how hydrated I am?
How to be the best eat. Your skin looks great.
She told me my skin looked good. It's probably because I'm always drinking three drinks.
There's hydration somewhere. There's probably dehydration with the coffee, but.
But it equals out because the third one.
Balance.
The just for fun is usually like a sparkling water for me.
Hey, so what is it again?
Hydration, caffeination, just for fun. That's like my morning routine is I'm not allowed my coffee until I hydrate. I say hydration, nourish. So I have to drink water. I have to eat a food. I have to take my vitamins before I'm allowed coffee. And I used to have a cute rhyme for that, but I forget what it was. I used to like say it in my head, like, did you hydrate?
Yeah.
Did you nourish yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you take your vitamins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I can have my coffee.
Cool. I've been trying to do that, but then I just go straight for the coffee.
Right? Okay.
And then I run out of money for vitamins. Oh, me too, but.
Drinking coffee too early hurts my tummy.
It's like a cup of sunshine.
I had a hug in a mug. Love that. That's a thing already, I think.
But, okay, coming back to your song.
Yeah.
People who are neurotypical do not do that.
They don't make songs about stuff?
I don't think so. Oh. I'm learning that we're not all the same, so that's been a revelation in my head.
That not all ADHD are the same?
That too, but more like people.
Oh, human beings.
Yeah, human beings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Really, there's different kinds.
And like in my own little world. Selfish yeah, little
we
world.
We make songs. Like me and my daughter start the day, usually, by one of us starts belting out a song at full
capacity.
Full capacity.
That's a lot.
And the other one joins in. It's usually Alicia Keys, That Girl Is on Fire. I'll be in the bathroom and I'll come in and like pop my head around the corner. I'm like, she's just a girl, but she's on fire. And then she takes over and it's,
that's
you're
lovely.
Singing into hairbrushes and toothbrushes and it's really fun. But
your husband's a lucky man.
This is after he leaves.
Oh.
He leaves for work usually when we're still like kind of asleepish.
Like
we're too tired. He leaves for work at 7:30.
Okay.
And I usually wake Ollie up right after that. And we do our song and dance shortly after that.
That's beautiful.
It is.
That's life.
It is. Aw.
Aw.
All those little things are really my favorite things.
Because, like, that's stuff you're going to remember as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I remember having fun with my mom. But, like, not knowing how much fun I can have, you know?
Yeah. My parents are neurotypical people. So I was like a lot to
just
handle.
A little bit. Just
but she found ways to like manage our energy. So we'd go to the playground, like different playground all the time because she stayed at home for like 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
And we'd go to the playground and she'd make us obstacle courses. She'd be like, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to run to the swing, pump 10 times, then go down the red side, then run around this. And it was so fun. And then like random neighborhood kids would come and join.
Fun.
So she'd have a lineup of kids. She's like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. And we'd all go do the obstacle course and we'd race. And it was so much fun. And she still talks about that. And just like little things like that are everything.
Cute. Like the fact, like dissecting it, the fact that she changed up the play structures for you guys, because that's huge on like ADHD brain.
And I don't think she knew why she was doing it. I think she just said, my kids get bored so easy.
Moms are the best.
They are.
They're my favorite.
Even when they don't know what's really going on, they know you. They're like, my kids.
There's some moms out there that aren't the best, but like.
There's definitely moms that suck. I know some of you. Some of you need to get it together, moms.
But most of you are doing a great job. Good job.
And dads also.
Yeah.
Dads suck and dads are great. Different ones.
Different ones.
Different ones.
We're not here to tell you which one you are. You know. You'll feel it once you say it. You decide and then you make a choice. Now you know better, you do better.
I think we dropped a Maya Angelou last time.
It's probably the same quote.
You should just t-shirt.
What are you gonna?
Do you remember anything that you used to do with your dad? I mean, like little dad things from childhood.
Yeah, but it was all. It was all about him. So it was like go in the truck, go to meet another farmer. Talk to that farmer for way too long. Oh, we end up having lunch there. Oh, thought we were literally just going for one part. There goes the whole afternoon. Oh, now we have to check all the crops. Oh, now we're outside of the truck and it's dusty. And oh, now we're in the tractor.
Do you think he knew? He was like, I need to get you out of the house.
Oh, absolutely not. He just wanted a buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't like secretly like, I'm keeping you busy for the afternoon.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you that it's just a minute.
No, I don't think I was like you for ADHD for as a child. I was like, everything was very internal.
It was all
ADHD. I was like quiet, kind of middle child syndrome, like two older brothers and a twin. And I was like the peacemaker. So I didn't, my twin brother, he was the one that was more loud and busy and had to, like, his energy had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Where I would just retreat back in my room and just...
And you're the only girl.
Yeah.
One girl, three boys.
One girl.
I'm sure that that was a factor in that.
In what?
In your quietness. Internal life, because you didn't have
a voice.
A voice. Yeah. It was a lot of.
It's one of the tops of talk and therapy. So.
Yeah. Lots of male energy in that household.
Lots. Still is.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you go back for dinners.
You have sister-in-laws now?
I have one sister-in-law who I absolutely love and am so grateful. She's been one of the people who helped me feel less lost in this career journey.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that.
I'm definitely realizing women friendships that have been so impactful in the last, like, 5 years. I don't know what I do without them.
Female friendships are one of my pillars of my life. When I'm not well, I look back and I think, when is the last time I spoke to her? Mm-hmm. When is the last time I went and did something fun with this person?
And friendships that ground me, and they know how to take care of me.
Yeah.
And I hope that I know how to take care of them back. And it's very reciprocal.
Yes. My male friendships are different than my female friendships. They're more lighthearted. But when they have
male
an issue in their life, I am a sounding board.
Yeah.
But it's not usually reversed. Like, they won't really reach out to me with their problems looking for...
And I don't know if it's not in their nature or that's just not their conditioning or what, but it feels very lonely.
I think being a man in general, for the most part, seems like a lonely experience. Even men, a lot of men that have close male friendships, they don't share in the same way.
No, and I think they're very lost right now.
Yeah.
Well, like, maybe not now, maybe for a long time, but, like, I'm thinking of, like, maybe men I wanted to date or I was attracted to. It was people who were, like, kind of loners.
Yeah.
Or like to be alone, maybe not loners, like to be alone and aren't very, at first they used to be sociable people. And then after I got off the pill, I liked loners. I thought there was so much like strength and confidence and sexiness of being like, you don't need all these male friendships.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But now...
So just like you didn't want a bro, so you're like, I'll find anyone
who's not a bro. Was, yeah.
I'm not attracted to a bro, but I
never dated a bro. It was like he hung out with bros.
Yeah. But it rubs off on you.
It really does. It really does. And maybe they've changed, but I was like, I didn't want any part of that.
Yeah.
And I thought there was so much... like healing or growth you've had to do to like be able to sit with yourself alone. Mm-hmm. But then now I realize like those people came to us for sounding boards and relationship advice or like feelings. I remember there was one guy I was texting and he's like, wow, this feels like a therapy session. And it was like bare minimum talk. Like, I think we were, like, saying, like, are you happy with your job? Or, like, does it make you happy? Or something. He's like, oh, this feels like a therapy session. And I was like, welcome to a good morning text from a girlfriend. Because I was like, what?
Also, he probably has never been to actual therapy.
Oh, no, he didn't. He's like,
you go a little deeper then.
Super recommend therapy if this is the deepest talk you've ever had.
Therapy is for you.
But then it kind of gets back on me, like, why was I attracted to these guys? Like, I was obsessed with him.
Are you a fixer? Are you, like,
yes.
Like a mystery? And do you like a project? You're like, you're a little bit broken, but with a little bit of crick, spit, and polish plus materials.
Guilty.
That's so many women.
It is, but I hate it. I hate being the stereotypical.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of women like a project.
We are project coordinators. That's literally what my job was.
And a lot of people like a man who is a cocky piece of shit. Like a jerk. girls love it.
I can't say I dated a jerk.
Oh, man. That's good. That's good for you.
Oh, that's not true. That is not true. There's one, and that is not true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but women love a jerk. A lot of women, not all. And a lot of women love a product, a project.
I tend to not want to say this because your daughter does not have canceling headphones right now.
She has headphones on, guys. She doesn't hear us. She's playing.
She's looking at me. She can hear me. It's because they're good and bad.
Oh, yeah, she can hear that. She's a very mature 7-year-old.
I know, but there's also...
Okay, so my 7-year-old. They have skills that you appreciate.
That we all appreciate. That we all appreciate. But are not long-lasting qualities yes. we want in a candidate for our heart.
Yes. So I am...
They're hard skills.
I have been with the same man since high school. So I have a lot of friends who I can see very clearly are attracted to the same type of person many times in a row. And it's like a pattern you get yourself into. But nobody seems to like a nice guy.
That's not true. I think it's changing.
I hope it's changing.
Because it's just okay,
so nice guys are the ones you should date because they're nice to you.
Okay, but what do you think made you go to your husband? A nice guy instead of a jerk.
I think, well, first of all, I was like getting tired of jerks.
So you did your time.
I did a little bit of time. Again, I was very young, but I was an early bloomer, let's say. I did a lot of jerks and then, but he was a surprise. I didn't pursue him. He was like a happy accident.
And I'm like, I'm sure he'd love to.
He was like, a kid you didn't expect. I knew him my whole life, but I didn't know him at all. And I thought I knew what he was like. I thought I had an idea of him. And then when I actually got to know him, it was so different. And I think that made my brain happy. Like, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I thought I knew and I didn't know. That's a dopamine fun surprise. Hit. Yeah, you're like, oh, fun surprise.
That's why I think we like jerks is because... They're dopamine hits.
Yeah.
Oh, are they going to be mean to me today? Or are they going to do and swoop me and throw rocks at my windows randomly?
Love bomb you and then pull back. And then love bomb you and then pull back.
It's attractive. It's a chase. And
yeah,
we're realizing it's not good for our mental health and our therapy bill. So we're choosing to go with nice guys. And that is actually what regulates our system. Like you said... Your husband was your anchor. That's what we're seeking now.
Yes. And that's honestly what we need. We need that. I can't be with another fire. Two fires would burn the house down. I need an ocean. I need water. I need earth.
Can I write that down for you? Two fires.
Two fires will burn the house down. But that's, I had an astrologist tell me that the essence of my being is blue wildfire. And I'm like, first of all, that's the best thing anyone's ever said to me, so thank you. But his is earth, calm, grounding energy. And even though he has stress and anxiety and that brings him up, like when he's well, he's the most grounding person. Oh my God, when I'm well, I'm like energy. Like,
yeah, we're radiant, like sunshine.
Yes. So those two things can be difficult, don't get me wrong, but when we're both at our best, we're unstoppable.
When's the last time that happened?
That we were both at our best? We had a date recently, and this happens once in a while. We don't go on a lot of dates because we have two small kids, but we were on a date, and I was like, can you feel it? Like, it's like so good. Like, I feel like we could just take over the world. Oh, it's so nice. And like, it doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, I'm like, this is what I need to carry me over.
Yeah. Like, and I never want it to stop, but I know it's gonna. And I know,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, whew, all those like sad times make this even more intense.
Yeah.
That it's euphoric.
Because life is hard and people die. And people get sick, and you lose your job, and everything's bad so often.
T-shirt? No.
That when you that when you get that moment of euphoria, you just have to like be present and be in it so that you can hold on to it for when you need it, when you're in that depths of hell.
Yeah, you said it, sister. Amen.
So if you're feeling lost, we get it. We've been there.
We are
pretty,
there.
Pretty often, actually, yeah. Like once a month and then once a season and then more often sometimes.
Every Monday.
Every Monday. Yeah, that's... Did you know that Monday is called Lundi? Because, like, la lune, the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And Mondays are meant to be your day of, like, grounding and taking it slow to set yourself up for the week. And Tuesday, which is Mardi, which means Mars, is, like, the day to really get shit started.
Oh, I did not know that.
I just learned
that. But I'm not gonna lie, Mondays are my favorite days.
Mondays are good. Like, Mondays are my Sundays.
Yeah, same.
Like, I just want to, like... slowly
start writing in my agenda what I want to tackle.
Shit people do on Sundays, I want to do on a Monday.
Yeah.
Because Sundays are for rest.
Sun. Day. Die Maus means what?
I don't know.
Die Maus means what? You wear sweaters. Die Maus.
Maus. Wear sleeves.
Wear sleeves. On Sundays for napping.
For naps. For be cozy.
Yeah.
In your
house. In the sun.
In the sun. Like a cat.
Meow.
That was really articulate.
It was beautiful. It is actually weird how I don't feel lost doing this podcast with you.
That's nice.
It feels very grounding and very easy. And we don't do the ums and the lingering. It's very like flow state.
It is. And I like how we stare at each other in the eyes the
whole and it's time. Not weird for me at all. Someone else would stare at me. I'm like, I'm looking away or I'm like, but it's like very intimate. But
we sit here and stare at each other in the eyes for an hour.
If we ever do a photo shoot for a podcast, I feel like this has to be a photo. 100%.
One day we'll get like a video so people can just watch
us that?
Stare at each other. Yeah, no, because then you can't dress like we're dressing.
Or we can, and that's our niche.
The niche is...
Our theme is
you don't having brush a niche. Your hair. Actually, you brushed your hair today. You look nice.
I didn't, but they
did not, and it shows. I wore this t-shirt to bed last night.
Oh, those are my favorite days. And we can, like, convert
off.
Over.
I took it off, and I'm like, Kate, time to get changed. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to put that t-shirt.
I'm not going to lie. It took me a long time to read. It's called The Grateful Dead.
It says Grateful Dead, and there's a big peace sign on it with teddy bears dancing around in flowers. So, in case you wanted to picture me, that's what I'm wearing.
I'm
wearing my purple Grateful Dead t-shirt with teddy bears and flowers.
And she has a bun with glasses. So she's a sexy librarian, but also loves music.
Oh my gosh, I have so many qualities.
And I am a...
You've got your
sweater. Middle class housewife with no children. Outfit on.
Childless stay-at-home mom.
Stay-at-home mom.
House unmarried housewife. I like unmarried housewives.
So I got joggers, black joggers. I got a white knitted sweater.
Which is really cute.
Thank you so much.
I really like that sweater.
And
you've got your hair in like a little twist.
My bangs are in a twist and my other hair was straightened a couple days ago. So it's still there.
She's holding up pretty good.
But funny enough, I was going to wear another knitted sweater, but it had chocolate stains on it. So I changed it.
How often do you change your clothes because you get food on yourself?
Every day.
Every day.
Every single day.
Sometimes I go through 3 shirts.
I've done that.
And it's like, what is wrong with me? Like, my mouth doesn't work?
No, it doesn't. That's the thing.
Seriously, one is always coffee.
Yeah.
Because my 1 to 3 cups of coffee throughout the day get on me somehow. One is usually food from a kid, and one is usually food from myself.
Okay. I was like, good for you. Yours is from another person. Mine is always myself.
No, I get food of myself. If there's like anything Mexican, it's going down the front of me.
And the back of you. We can't say that, can we?
I don't know. We're not talking about Mexican people. We're talking about their cuisine.
The cuisine.
And let's be real. I don't eat authentic Mexican food. It's going to be Tex-Mex. It's going to be like a taco that I made at home with an old El Paso packet or whatever.
I love how naturally that came to you. An old El Paso packet.
An old El Paso packet.
An expired old El Paso.
Oh, no.
Not expired.
I'm not going to use an expired one.
Oh, I do. There's no shame in that.
No, sorry.
It's not recommended.
Sorry to shame you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Your tummy's not happy after. Yeah.
Maybe it actually converts it into actually making it better.
Maybe. Never know.
Anywho. I feel like that's it.
What are we? Oh,
we do have to do a fact check on identical twins.
Fraternal twins, because last time I asked you if you were identical twins with your brother, and you said that you can't be because you have different genitals and that identical twins have to be of the same sex, and we never found out if that was really true.
Funny enough, it was actually asked on my favorite podcast, Armchair Expert. So, fraternal twins develop from two sets of eggs and sperm, same sex or one of each other. So, there's a sperm, an egg, and then they have separate placenta. So, we had... Oh, my mom had two placentas in her.
Yeah. So, fraternal twins can be the same sex or different sex.
Yes. And then identical twins develop from the same egg and sperm. So, one sperm goes into one egg, and then they share... Oh, they can have separate placentas.
They share a placenta or they have separate placentas.
So they pretty much, it's just sharing an egg or not sharing an egg, right?
And they have to be same sex. So you couldn't be an identical twin because your brother is a boy.
So would you say I was right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
We gotta check those facts.
We gotta check the facts. I don't want to share my placenta with nobody. That's my placenta.
Well, good thing you weren't a twin, because that would have been an option.
Also, placentas are gross.
The word is nasty.
It's nasty, and people eat them.
I know.
She just
had a baby a couple months ago, and I was like, oh, you didn't eat the placenta, and I like shamed her, and she's like, yeah, we did, and she fucked with me, and she was.
That's mean.
She hurt us. I'm sorry. We kept pretty cool.
Yeah, we barely sweared. We could edit that out. But you can eat your placenta or you can turn your placenta into capsules and then take
the
capsules over time. I know it's nutritious, but it's an organ that you grew inside of you and then you're going to eat it. Like, would you eat your own liver?
Okay. Hypocritical on meat eaters.
I'm not eating my own meat.
Well, it's your baby's meat. So it's different.
So
it's nasty. Sorry. I don't.
You guys, I'm sorry if you ate a placenta. Like, good for you. I'm proud of you for following your truth.
Did it taste like chicken?
What did it taste like? Please email me because I'm curious. But I just can't. I can't. I saw it, and I was like, "What the bloody hell is that?"
Yeah, no one talks about that.
When you see the shit that comes out of your body. You're like,
is it in a pan?
What is it?
Where does it go?
I had an emergency C-section.
Fun.
And then the next time I had to have a planned C-section.
Okay.
So they literally just take the stuff out and like, yeah, they put it in
a pot. Is it a pot?
Like a steel pot. A steel pot pan. And then they're like, do you want to see it?
Do you want an old El Paso?
Do you want me to save this? Do you want me to cryovac this for later? No. Put it in the garbage. I don't want that.
Have you ever touched it?
I don't know. Okay. The second time I gave birth, they opened me up. They took the baby out. They took all the junk out.
And what's the junk? Oh, placenta.
Like placenta and other yuckies. And she said to me, by the way, while we were inside of you, we found a huge cyst on your ovary that was like the size of a navel orange. She's like, so we just went ahead and took out your whole ovary.
What?
And I'm like, and I was kind of out of it. Like I had just had a
C-section. You only got one?
I only have one ovary. They didn't. And I'm like, okay, maybe she didn't tell me because she thought I would panic. But I'm pretty sure you have.
It's not consensual.
When you take their organs away, I'm pretty sure you have to tell them.
She has one.
I have one ovary and the
all yes, and she still has an ovary and she has one, not the two.
The weirdest part of that story is she put my ovary
in a jar
and cyst. I wish it was a jar. It looked like a wonton soup container from Chinese food takeout. Like, it was a kind of a cloudy plastic container.
Chinese cuisine.
She put the lid on and she said, do you want to take this home? Like, do you want to see it? Do you want it?
Did you?
I looked at it really quick. I felt so creeped out. And I was like, no, I do not want my cyst ovary. Like, she's like, okay, well, she's like, we have to run tests and, like, make sure you don't have cancer.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, please do that.
Instead of offering it to me.
I don't remember what she said, so I must not have cancer.
Congrats.
Because it's been 3 years, so I feel like someone would have let me know by now. But yeah, it was so bizarre.
Your little girl's only 3 years old?
Yeah, my daughter just turned 3. But yeah, it was wild. So I did get an organ taken out without consent, and I did see it, and it was yuck.
Was it bloody?
No, it looked like a giant floating dumpling in
a dumpling.
Thing of soup.
And what did the cyst look like?
I didn't look at it real close because I was very, I'm just very sensitive tummy with gross
yeah,
medical
that's
stuff.
Fair.
Like
because you're literally, your stomach goes outside.
I could never be a doctor.
Or nurse.
Or nurse or a paramedic or
so you deliver
a doctor or, I don't want to see anybody's bodies.
Nothing coming out of anyone's bodies.
Nope. Or
interesting, you wanted to be a mother.
It is. It's so interesting.
Okay, so you not only delivered a baby, you delivered a placenta, and you also delivered an ovary and a cyst. That was quite a day.
Imagine how light I felt after that.
There's no Hallmark card for that.
There wasn't, and it was COVID, so nobody could come bring me flowers or cookies or nothing. But my husband was there with me, thank God. I thought he wasn't going to be with me.
Hashtag
and then I got COVID from being at the hospital giving birth.
Nice. Nice.
So ironic. So ironic. They're so worried about me coming into the hospital to give birth that I had COVID. And I got COVID giving birth at the hospital. Anyways.
Well, do you think you would make a t-shirt of, like, one ovary committee?
Oh, one ovary committee. Do you only have one ovary?
Me too. That should be your theme song. Darling, you inspired me with one ovary.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm really special.
I don't know if you know this. Remember there's a dating profile. I have one ovary. What do you have?
Yeah. I'm very fast because my one ovary was really heavy. And now I'm spry, and I can beat anyone in a running race. Anyone!
Ovary achiever.
Just kidding. Actually, can't. I'm very slow. One time, did you used to, in gym class, have to have races?
Yes, speed test.
So there was a really nice boy who had
one ball.
Something muscular. He had some sort of muscular skeletal issue.
Okay.
So he was very frail and had very, like, small bones. And anyways, we raced. He beat me real bad. And everyone afterwards was like, good job, like, letting him win. Like, that was really kind of you. And I was like, guys, I was trying my best.
That was everything I had.
That was my best job. And he beat me fair and square. I'm just really slow.
So how did that make you feel?
Well, at first I was like, I should just go with it and be like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm a good human.
I'm a good human, but I can't lie. I get very violently ill if I lie.
Same.
Yeah.
My body rejects the lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually either throw up, like right after.
Throw up, yeah. It's guaranteed throw up, maybe diarrhea. Yeah.
Lie diarrhea is the worst kind.
Lying diarrhea is the worst.
Yeah, no, I cannot lie. And when I meet someone who can lie, I'm fascinated by them and also terrified of
Same.
Them.
Same.
It's so scary.
I'm like, how can you do this? But also, how are you doing this?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I want to learn.
Teach me how, but then I'll have diarrhea for days. Do you find your symptoms different when you, because you only have one ovary, like for your period symptoms or?
No, everything. Okay. So she had asked me before the C-section, do you want me to tie your tubes in there?
Oh.
And she was like, get back to me. And I,
get back to you.
I of course forgot. I forgot to get back to her. So while she was in there, she took out one ovary. If I would have known, I would have said, just tie my tubes or take out the other ovary or like scoop me out. Cause I don't want to have any more children. I don't need to have a period anymore. But now I just have my.
It's like a full on hysterectomy? Or is that like.
Well, she offered to like tie my tubes, okay. Which is like a lady version of a vasectomy.
Oh, I totally know what that is.
But if I would have known she was taking out one ovary,
but why didn't she
just take out two? Because of the cyst.
Okay, so she had to do that.
She had to do the cyst. But had I known she was doing extra activities, I would have said tie my tubes because now I have just my normal full on period. Mitch has a vasectomy.
Okay.
So we're not having any more babies, and I just have my period for no reason.
Oh, that's true.
And it's the same. It's the same flow. It's the same heavy. It's the same everything. So, like, what the heck?
So no consent and no options.
And I'm closed for business 1 week a month now for no reason.
Well, that's... a period should only end a sentence.
That's another, we'll talk about that
someday. Okay, maybe Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about some juicy stuff. So that might have to come back because me and my husband have varying opinions on that one. But I guess we'll be back next week with our first guest, I think. Hey?
Well, hopefully. I did text her just today, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have to forget.
That was my checklist.
Remember later.
So if you're feeling lost, we see you. We hear you. And we know that it can be really hard and you're not alone. But feel free to share your stories on being lost, or even maybe if you just want to thumbs it up or put a heart on our comments.
Comment, send an email if you want us to talk about it.
Yeah, one day we're going to have callers or like email.
That'd be so fun.
I don't know who's going to go through them, but someone will.
Because we're really good at solving the world's problems.
Yeah, one identical twin placenta at a time.
Bye, guys. Have a great week.
Have a good week.
Bye.